Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Peter 2 from verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
Okay, hi, good morning, it's good to see you. Welcome. I'm really especially pleased to see some dear friends, Andy and Carol. Thank you for coming. Leslie and I met them first in Hong Kong when we lived out there with Andy and Carol. Thank you, well done. Yeah, take a bow, that's marvellous. Now living in Gloucester, and it's just been great to connect every 20 years. Effectively, but recently it's been really good to reconnect. It's just like old times. Welcome if you're a visitor. We have some new Nexus students, I think. Are they here today? If you're from Nexus, welcome, guys. That's really good. You want to stand up and just say, hey, hi, this is good. Okay, wow, we have three amigos. That's really great. You're looking good, guys. Okay, yep, you can have a seat if you want. What I'll do is probably next week we'll maybe get you to say a little bit about what's going on or something like that. It's really good. Welcome. And you're going to be well hosted and everything else. That's good. And it's good to have Belinda as our new academy student. Belinda, just one second, just stand there. Belinda's here. She's going to be hopefully placed here at Bethel. Belinda. Just started her BA in theology and missions, so do pray. It's a tough course, but if you've done that before, encourage Belinda today. That'd be great. And Rachel C, with a nose bandage after having half her brain pulled out in surgery, it was not pleasant. I was outside the curtain when they did it, and she was incredibly brave. But welcome if you're a visitor as well. I'm not ignoring you. It's lovely to see you. Please don't rush off. Make yourself known. You might have noticed in the Bethel News today that we expect next Sunday to make an announcement about a moving in date. So next Sunday. The buildings team are meeting Tuesday evening to agree that. So that's really, really great. Please pray there's some significant work taking place this week, but that's good. We're gonna move in. So we are on the countdown, I know. So, that's good. I don't know anything else to say at the moment. Only Derek Simpson's moved to Rugby St. Cross Hospital. So it's if you're thinking of visiting Derek, he's at Rugby St. Cross, please do pop over there. Maybe just give him a quick call. If before you do that, that'd be great. And it's good to see Ruth Edgecombe, who's been poorly this week, and Ruth Hare's going to Leeds on Tuesday till Thursday, I think, Ruth. Yeah. So it's still, well, that's good. Get some shopping. You've got to do what you can, can't you, in between this. But pray for continued blessing. Obviously, some of you might not know, but we're actually going through the book of Ezra, so that was a very strange reading. I got a frantic email from Lou on a Sunday night saying, "Eek, I've been asked to do the reading next week." And if those of you with a Bible have got Ezra 2 in front of you, you will realize that it is a telephone book of Hebrew names, which is great. And very kindly, Emma Hopkins came up to me this morning very confidently and says, "If no one wants to read this morning, I can do it for you." And I thought, what a blessing, isn't that great? So it's sadly, We just planned not to read it, but I will certainly, that's what I'm speaking from right now. Let me just introduce the chapter, Ezra chapter 2. If you've got an app or something like that, do get in the habit, it's good. Download it. You can download a free Bible app or bring your Bible if you can see the print. And you never know. And Ezra chapter 2. People last week have been given permission. We've just started our series. It's called The Refocus People. We need to refocus. And so the people have been given permission to go back to HQ Jerusalem. They've been 70 years or so in exile in Babylon. The Iranians are in charge. And King Cyrus put it in writing. Thank you for the many requests for me to record that for you after last week's song. And even someone, Janet in the Oasis came up to me and says, Cyrus, put it in writing. And I thought she was going to do a dance as well. It was great. So it's excellent. Thank you. See, we remember things, don't we? Ezra chapter 2. So what they're going to do, they've been given permission. I'm not going to read all of it. It just says, now these are the people of the province who came up from the captivity of the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken captive to Babylon. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah. How lovely. Each to their own town, in company with Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Reliah, Mordecai, possibly not the same one, Bilshan, Mispar, Bilgabai, Rehum, and Beanah. No wonder, Lou, we have to sort of avoid this. And then there's a list, and then it says in the next one, end of two, the list of the men of the people of Israel. That's important. The list of the men of the people of Israel, when it lists the descendants of people and the descendants from their towns, from 21 various people. And then it lists various roles like the priests and the Levites and the gatekeepers and the temple servants and the descendants of Solomon. So you can understand people being nervous about reading this sort of text, really. And maybe you think, why on earth does God put it in the Bible? I'm going to pray. I think we need it. And let's see what the Lord hopefully says to us this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come. And we need that assurance. Many here today need that assurance that you are sovereign over all. And these things that we go through, Lord, you turn it for our good. You're shaping us into the likeness of Jesus. Yet, Lord, we so often don't want to conform. We don't want to cooperate with you. So, Lord, would it be that as we take our place, perhaps we've forgotten who we are. That would be worrying. We've forgotten who we are. And so, Lord, might it be that actually you remind us, Holy Spirit, who we are and what our part in that is. Why are we here? And, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who are not, who'd love to be. I think particularly Derek Simpson at this time in rugby. Loves to be amongst your people. Bless, encourage him in that place. Bring him back to us soon. Thank you so much, Lord, that you've been able to be with Ruth, Edgecombe, Rachel this week. As they've recovered from various things, surgery or other. And that they're able to keenly be amongst your people, Lord. There's not that keenness so often. So I thank you, Lord, they have a passion to be here. Give Ruth heard. Others who suffer, Sue. Others who struggle daily, it'd be easier to perhaps not do this. But we thank you, Lord, that to be amongst your people brings us something. Something special. There's nothing like it. And I pray in turn, Holy Spirit, you'll come. You will just do what you do best for friends, for our new chaps from Nexus. Bless them. I pray they will give and receive, Lord, in this time of forming and shaping for them. I pray they'll be godly in their thinking, that you'll put good godly influences around them. Thank you for bringing them to us. Bless them, encourage them, their families, their homes. Just thank you, Lord, for this, your family. Would you speak to us now through your word in Jesus' name? Amen. On the pastor's desk, I've entitled it, Who Do You Think You Are? I've not really seen a whole one of those, but there's a program, isn't there, called Who Do You Think You Are? And apparently it's celebrities who go back into their past. And I know for some people here, this is a massive thing. Leslie and Estelle and other people and that. And for many of us here, you know, our background is really huge. And it shapes us today. It really, really does. And ignoring it at our peril, actually. There's something around kind of painfully just acknowledging that. but also allowing the Spirit to use that, whatever our background, to shape us. But I love that program. But it's really important. I just imagine two guys in the factory. I want you to imagine now two guys in a factory. They work in the same factory, and what they do is they make hydraulic washers all day, every day, whatever. It's great. They've been there years, okay? And the company wins, say, I don't know, some Prince's Trust Award, and Prince Charles goes along to find out it's a great company. They've been at the forefront of British manufacturing, whatever, for a long time. And the Prince goes along and he says to the first guy, I won't do the accent, all the years. We love him. What do you do then? And the guy says, oh, I make washers. Oh, right. Okay, yeah, about 300 a day. It's all right. Been here a long time. Steady. Oh, great. Great. Bit awkward, but good. Didn't say that. Goes to the next guy. What do you do then? I make a part that goes in a pump in a Boeing 747 that flies people all over the world. Same job. Same place. Different vision. One knows what he does, really does. One knows where he belongs and where his part really, really belongs. And because it's easy for us to have that. You know, even if we, I don't know, if you was in a room with your family, you came in late from somewhere and the rest of your family or friends were watching a movie, what would you say? Yeah, what's this? And what's it about? And you're absolutely right. So what is it? You'd want to know the big scheme of it. They wouldn't just say it's a movie. Yeah, no. There's an inquiry into knowing the bigger picture we're in and the bigger story we're in is so important. So my question this morning at the beginning is, why are we here? Who are we this morning? I really mean that. Because there's some right answers that could easily just slip off the tongue this morning. We are, because we've done the course, or we just know. But who are we? Do we really, really, really know who we are? Because sometimes, does it maybe feel that we're just doing church? Who here ever feels like disconnected? I just don't belong. I've come here because I do, and I just long to have something which is just more than just being here. And why anyway? Because if it's why anyway, I can just miss it when I want. And that's okay. Because there's other things just vying for my attention. And I get that. But I think if I really start to understand who I am, who we are, it's a difference between I just do 300 washes a day. I come to church and I help out. I help set up and bless you guys and girls. And saying, I'm part of a movement. We're part of something that happens. And I really feel the Lord would remind us this morning. He's really been speaking to my heart. Just about who it is, who we are, and where we are heading. What is this about? Because I can stand here and say, you know, this is incredible, and you're going, it doesn't feel that incredible to me. It can be easy to do church, easy to drift in and out with little purpose. And I think we need reminding often about our purpose. And see, last week when we started Ezra chapter 1, seriously, first week was overview, last week was we started chapter 1, and this is our third week. Listen online if you want to get the thread, but I hope today, I always hope every Sunday is complete, but the Spirit gives you something. But last week we said the Lord is seeking people whose windows are open to his purposes. Lord, what is it you're doing? And whose hearts, their hearts, are open to personal transformation. That's what we said last week. But those people, and that's what we've seen here, but once Cyrus puts it in writing, once the Persian king, the superpower, suddenly said to God's people who've been captive for 70 years, you can go. We need to be a people who Jesus says are hearers and doers. Also, we need to get on with that. What the freedoms and the mission, that the commission that Christ has given us, that the Godhead has given. You can now go into this next chapter of your life. And it's more than just going to that facility over there or going to back to Jerusalem to this building site. And I think if you read Ezra 2, and if you haven't got it before you, you may not feel the sense of this, but just read it at home. Trust me. It is a telephone book on first glance. I think on first glance, maybe second, maybe even fifth or tenth or hundredth, it looks dry. It's a list of names and places. That's what it is. Yet if Paul is right when he writes to Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed, and he's largely speaking then at that time about the Old Testament, think about it. That includes Ezra 2. It includes Ezra chapter 2. Paul says Ezra 2 is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking. Isn't that incredible that Paul would say, God, you know, why do you ruin a good story with a telephone book? Have you ever thought that? You're going along in Genesis when you hit chapter 5. You just have this great murder. Cain and Abel, there's been plays and films made of it. And 5, a genealogy. Oh, is this the commercial break we can put the kettle on? Did God just do that because he realizes, you know, it's quite hard reading 5 chapters in a row? But we said last week that God simply doesn't herd people, but he shapes us and he includes us. He partners with them. So what we're going to see is the ongoing shaping work of God. God's big story of buying back a people and redeeming his planet. And it involves two things. If last week we said God is looking for people whose windows, their minds are open to his purposes and hearts are open to transformation, this week, you know, we can see two things as well. That God's people are people who know the story they are part of. God's people are people, firstly, who know the story they are part of. Do you know the story you're part of this morning? If I said, what's your story? You might start from the time you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's okay. But it's bigger than that. God's people are people who know the story they're part of. And also that God's people are people who are seeking their part in that story. So they know the story and then they're saying, what's my part in that story? So do you know Jesus Christ this morning? Do you know where the story goes to that point? Do you know your need for forgiveness? All of that. But then are you seeking your place? Maybe you've come to Christ. Are you seeking your place in God's work? You see, Ezra 2, can I talk to you about it? You know, actually, out of all 10 chapters, it attracts the title of the whole series, A Refocused People. That's how excited I got about Ezra 2. You say, Annie Keith, you need to get a life. But it attracted the title for the whole series, A Refocused People. I read it and I was like, yeah. Wow, isn't that incredible? Ezra 2 is, if you want a list, if you want a picture of disciple making, of passing it on, Ezra 2. It's perfect. You always look at me like that when I say something like that. Just when Cyrus put it in writing New World last week, thinking, why? But it's passing on the story. That's what disciple making is. It's passing on the story and nurturing people in Christ. And Ezra 2 does that. And it can be easy for us, even within churches, isn't it true? Christ following churches in the city. Well, what is your church doing? And are people coming to your place? How can we get more people to come to this place? Really? There's something beautiful about the synergy of the people of God together. And I get local. I love it. We have to go somewhere. But it's not my overall heartbeat that 6,000 people come and sit here any day soon. It says the Lord brings his servants and shapes us into the people locally he wants us to be. And that's exciting. But it's easy just to think. But I want us to be a people. I want us to remind us this morning that so we know the story we're part of. To take our place in that story. You see, the enemy, Satan, seriously, would subdue us. He'd love us to be kind of absorbed by our own programs. Or maybe reduce reduce our kind of devotional to some New Testament reading. Some self-absorbed devotional, which is, what am I going to get out of this morning simply to get me through the day? And I understand that. But we're part of something much greater. Can you imagine that guy with a t-shirt on who says, I make parts, that going that pump in a Boeing 747. And every time he sees one fly past on the news, he says, I'm involved in that. And I think he's got the right approach. He knows something bigger and better is there. He doesn't just want to go make washers somewhere else because he's bored. I got bored of this place because my boss upset me. So I'm going to go and make some washers somewhere else now. So it happens when we move loads of churches all the time. We get bored of people and we miss the big story. And I know there are reasons why we move sometimes. I know that, and I know that's difficult. But I just say, once we're a people of God, But can I just get into this and say, firstly, we need to know the story we're part of. We need to know that. And verse 1 reminds us of the backdrop. It says, let's look at verse 1 of chapter 2. God, there is a lot of names. I'm scrolling back. Now, these are the people of the province who came up from the captivity of the exiles whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken captive to Babylon. So this was the historical context, the exile. The writer wants to remind us at the beginning, these are the people, remember, who've kind of been in the backwater for 70 years, and maybe they could have forgotten who they were. And what happens in verse 2, in the very end, the list of the men of the people of Israel. Place and people. Reconnecting with their spiritual legacy. You see, this wasn't simply, the writer doesn't say, this is a story about, a sad story, as difficult as is this, about refugees coming back, as though that is that story, and that would be the new story today. It says, this is the people of Israel. God on the move. This is people identifying. And where are they returning to anywhere? Anyway, no, returning to Jerusalem and Judah. The writer wants to connect this story. This is not simply their story. There was a group of people who lived in Babylon for 70 years and then they had a really hard time. He says, no, these are the men, these are the people of Israel. Remember that group of people God brought together at Sinai? Remember that group of people that God promised to Abraham all the way back? This is them. This is the continuing story. I'm identifying these people with their who do you think you are story. This isn't just another group of people who in a separate kind of place are going back to HQ. This is God's people, the men of the people of Israel going back to HQ, Jerusalem and Judah. Going back to the place where God's name is known, Jerusalem. God's people with God in the center. This is amazing. This is God's continuing story. And each went to their own town, says Ezra 2. These towns were allocated, Joshua 13 through 19. See, but this wasn't about wiping the slate clean. Let's just start a new history book in the Old Testament, so I'm not going to read it. Forget the past. See, all the way from the beginning, God had shaped a people. I wonder how many of you here have tried to research your ancestry. Has anybody done that? It seems a popular thing now. Derek, you've done that. Any others? Probably a few more. Yeah. Can be fascinating, can't it, really? This is what Ezra's doing here. This is what the Spirit of God's doing through the writer. Saying this is who these people were. Listen up. This is no dry telephone book. This is God's people. Going back to Jerusalem, that place where God's name is over it. That will be my place, says the Lord. You can't take Jerusalem off him or his people. Impossible. And right at the beginning, in Genesis 12, the Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. And guess what? I'm going to make you into a great nation, God's people, Israel. I'm going to make you into a great nation, and all of the nations are going to be blessed through you. And this is the story, Ezra 2, of the people of Israel going back to Jerusalem. Can you see they're attaching? The writer wants to say this is a continuation of God's story from the beginning, and it's going to culminate. It's going to continue. Because the people's journey isn't simply back to Jerusalem. It's back to God in the center. Remember at the beginning when Moses was challenged in Exodus 3? Before the Exodus, God says, I'm going to pick you, Moses. I want you to go back. My people have been in captivity all this time. I'm going to pick you to lead my people. And we know the prince of the Red Sea and all that sort of thing. We know the prince of Egypt and all that sort of thing. But what God said to Moses, Exodus 3:12, he didn't say you're going to come to a really nice palace and all that. He said, in Exodus 3:12, you will come and worship me on this mountain. Moses, wherever you journey, whatever it looks like, your destination is me. This promise I've given to Abraham, you're going to now start to take the next phase, Moses, Exodus 3. And actually, what's going to happen? 12, you're going to see the Exodus and all the way through that. And they're going to journey towards me, that nation I promised from the beginning. There's a legacy, Moses. And here in Ezra 2, here is the men of the people of Israel going back to their Jerusalem and Judah and their own towns. It's on the move. God is achieving his sovereign purposes. And as a church, we can be encouraged by that. And then you might know after Exodus, there was the Exodus and people came to Sinai and the Lord formed a people at Sinai. Remember the Ten Commandments, if you don't know the Bible, well, God formed commandments because this is how you live. Because my word is important. I don't just save you, I give you my word. So every day you can live by my word. He still does the same today. So we read it. And in Exodus 19, the 12 tribes of Israel for the very first time are coming round Sinai with God in the midst. And this is through what the Lord says. Exodus 19, on the first day of the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. I've been there. It's absolutely terrible. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel, this 12 tribes of Israel camped there in the desert in front of Sinai. Moses went up and the Lord called him from the mountain. And this is what the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 19, Old Testament. This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, Israel, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I think we heard that somewhere before. Not long ago, didn't we? You're going to be for me a kingdom of priests, Exodus 19. This is our first chat as the Heavenly Father and my people. And now in Ezra 2, it comes again. We've got the men of the people of Israel coming back to Jerusalem. And this remnant is desperate to regain her identity. This is not simply a group of people in old, boring Old Testament history. But the people of God. The God of heaven. This is not simply a return to a building project, but to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town. Can I ask, where's your identity this morning? You see, if I'm loosely connected to this church, Bethel Church, or whatever church it is, that can be severed easily. I'll sever it because I'll upset you. I'm good at it. Don't mean to, honestly, ever. Or someone else will. We can sever church links, but the people of God, we need to be in a congregation where the word of God is key. Where God's word, we gather around the word of God like that Sinai. And he says, do you know who you are? Who do you think you are today? You are not just a Christian struggling at work, making 300 washes a day. You are in the people of God. Does church feel like to you a ragtag bunch of disconnected people? I'm not sure if I belong. And I get that. And feelings are feelings, and that we can't deny feelings because they're real, but not necessarily truth. Do you see that? We're more than that. Remember about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Leslie's sister, who she found a couple of years ago, Christine, who was adopted at birth, and both gave the testimonies up here. And it was incredible, and that was Christine's idea. Now, Christine didn't know. She knew she was adopted, Leslie's sister. She didn't know her birth name. And she didn't know her birth name till she was 50. And the way she found out is she had a lovely adopted parents, amazing adopted parents. Had a good life, you'd say, Leslie, wouldn't you? A good upbringing. And what happened when she lost her parents, both parents, is the house was cleared out and she was given a brown envelope. Very moving. A brown envelope. Pretty much all she was given out of that place. It was a difficult time for her. And in that envelope was her original birth certificate. With her birth name on. Tracy. And she started to inquire and met that amazing lady there, my wife. Leslie. And you heard the story, some of you, many of you, a couple of weeks or so ago. She'd done okay up to then. She'd had a good life. But this discovery enriched, broadened, in her own words, has blessed her beyond belief. This discovery of who she really was. It was massive. It was a huge discovery. Sat in this envelope. Always there. Never discovered. See, we can do church and never open the envelope of who we really are. And it can be good church. And we know it can be bad and challenging. Because that's what it's like when we come. But this isn't who we are. It isn't. It isn't who we are. And here in Ezra, we see a people who know who they are. Because they're reminded, you are the people of Israel, going back to Jerusalem and Judah. They are his treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is what, remember what your dad back in Babylon, your granddad back in Babylon, remember what happened. And they are purposely in Ezra 2 going to return to build a temple, a place where God's presence is, metaphorically. We know he cannot be contained, says Solomon, but this for them was where the presence of God himself, a place where God will be in their midst. So they know who they are and they're journeying back to a place where God is going to be in their midst. Isn't that our story? It's so easy with my sound bites and devotionals to disconnect myself from my legacy. I don't want to do that. Because it's good, but I want it to be rich and deep. And know that actually, I'm not making 300 washes a day. You're not just helping out at the toddler group. You're not just serving the refreshments. Bless them. You're not just helping at the youth group or children's work. You're part of a redemptive plan with partnership with the Godhead as God's special people, bringing a people to himself. That's incredible. Now, if we want to look inwards and say, I'm just on a rota in some sort of ministry, please lift up your eyes and see. This is an incredible legacy. I don't want to leap from self absorbed devotion to self absorbed devotion to get me through my week. Because that won't always work. But who I am is who I am, however I feel. And in our reading earlier on, let me bring this reading, thank you Lou, into this context. You see, Peter has got this. Imagine Peter speaking to the church. There you are in 1 Peter. And he wants them to know that they're not the New Testament church because Israel blew it. Or we're the new boys. We've got to start again with a new constitution. Peter is desperate, desperate for the church of his time with Gentiles and mix and all sorts of cultural backdrops and all sorts. For the church to see their story they're part of. And in 1 Peter 2, he says in verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You're being built into a spiritual house. a place where God's presence is. To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. And then he pronounces the Exodus 19 words of the constitution of Exodus 19 over this lovely church in the New Testament. But you are a chosen people, verse 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Welcome to the family church. And Exodus 19, when that was pronounced, they would have gone, wow. They didn't even look. Moses' face was so bright. And when I really understand my legacy, I'm grafted in, I'm God's special possession, I'm part of his big story. Wow. I'm making washers for a part that I'm making a part for the Boeing 747 for a grand plan that just takes people all over the world. It's no longer meaningless what I do. So we see a people who know they are part, the story they are part of, and seek and declare that identity. The people of Israel going up to Jerusalem and Judah. Just very briefly, we see a people then that seek their place in that story. You know, every precious name here, what it tells us, these are real people who bleed, who cry, who ache, who struggle. Can you just kind of read this list? It's almost the Old Testament equivalent of 1 Corinthians 12. You are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. This was the body. This is Israel coming out of Babylon. And there's the temple. There's the temple workers. There's the gatekeepers. There's the singers. There's the musicians. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Every time you see a list of people doing in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12. God cares about you. He cares about your part. Yes, they will miss you if you don't do it. They will miss you if you don't come on a Sunday. We will miss you. You matter to God. It's not about rotas and just getting someone else. You're important. And somehow something's got in your head that you're not. And this is pointless. For some of you, perhaps. Every precious name here, every list tells me that we matter. I had a friend once, he became an elder at my last church. I used to give him a lift to work. He wasn't a Christian when I started giving him a lift to work. Yeah. Well, the Lord's good. He became an elder at the church, actually. And what really, remember him saying to me, I remember saying, Mark, what was it? What was it that really, I know it's a process, but what's the tipping point? He said, when I really understood that God listened to me. He cared about me, my prayers, my business, this, that he listened to me. I couldn't ignore it. It bowled me out. He was incredible. And he was a man's man, if I can say that these days. It's allowed. And he'd cry just thinking about the time when God loved him so much. And someone said to me the other week, I had a coffee with them, saying, you know what? I think a lot of people here don't really think God loves them. God really loves you and wants to include you so much. He sent his only son on the cross. And in verse 2, I'm not going to read through it now. We've got the leaders. Do you know, if leadership don't know who they are, and by that I always like to use the term servants rather than leaders, because we've twisted that in society to be the ones in charge. Verse 3 to 20, it's interesting, there's those associated with families. These are the descendants of. In 21 to 35, it's those associated with towns. Bethel, Ai. And all of this list is an echo of God's original promise to Abraham that I'm going to give you descendants and land. These are descendants of. These are the people from these towns. Remember God's promise to Abraham back in Genesis 12? Think God's keeping it up. In 36 to 49, there's priestly families. There's only four. There was 24 originally. This is a small thing. This is tiny compared. But God doesn't despise small things. The priests were needed for the functioning of the temple, a representation of the kingdom of priests. Verse 40, the Levites, most of them wanted to stay back in Babylon. It was nice there. After all, Jeremiah had said to them, well, you know, make it nice as well. Just get on with people. That's good. 41 to 42, it's good news. Jason and the team wanted singers and musicians and all that sort of thing. And gatekeepers. 43 to 58, other temple servants. We need everybody. 59 to 63, there were those that weren't sure about their descent, but there's room for everyone, you see. Because he's our father. And in 64 to 67, the people are counted. It's not many. 68 to 70, this is a quick fly by, isn't it? It's a community which is symbolized by a willingness to give, as we see at the end of that in 68 to 70. I'm going to bring this down. You've been really good. I'll do that in a minute. This is a community of people who know the story they are part of and who are seeking to take their part in it. A people coming together to build a temple, a place where God himself would be in their midst. This is no simple Sunday gathering that I can take or leave whether I feel like it or not. See, as we go forward to the New Testament, Paul says to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 3, see, we might not have much of a temple, we're moving into a facility, but 1 Corinthians 3, 16, don't you know, says Paul to the church, that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. Temple, presence, people, midst. All the blessings of the Old Testament, all the blessings of God forming are shaping around a new people. A people being built together in whose midst is the God of heaven and to whom our praise is directed. So if Peter, as he can through his word today, can stand before us now, he would say in 1 Peter 2:9, you gathering here are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And if we forget that, it becomes about what rotor I'm on and me just doing 300 washes a day. And I've got to say, I wouldn't be that excited about that either. But I'm part of something grander than that. This isn't just church on Sunday. We are God's glorious gathered people, an expression locally of what God is doing. A living temple of priests, says Peter, called out to take our place in his story, to carry the Ezra 2 baton. But to do that, we need reminding of the story we're part of, our legacy, and encouraging to take our place. Maybe we feel a bit like exiles at the moment. In fact, Peter calls us that in 1 Peter 2:11. I urge you as exiles. And he goes on to say, to live for Christ. But this is not a ragtag gathering. We are God's special possession. His people journeying to a place. And we know where that is because we've read the last book. It's a new Jerusalem. Because we're still journeying. Where opposition will cease, we'll get that in chapter 4. Where journeying will end, and we will reach our destination, him. That's where our destination is. In the meantime, well, we seek to understand the story so far, our legacy, and seek to take our place and to journey together towards him. And I'm going to read what I read last week. Because I want to remind us and remind us again of the place we're journeying to. A Revelation 21 place that says, I saw that new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, his chosen people, his treasured possession. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And he said, write this down, John, for these words are trustworthy and true. And John tells us in verse 22, as he writes it down and observes the new cities, he's given a glimpse of the future, where we're heading. Treasured possession, kingdom of priests, that's who you are. Where are we heading? Verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city, says John. Didn't see a temple, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. That's where our destination was always meant to be. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, says John. For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp, the light of the world. The nations, all those that were promised to be blessed through Abraham, will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. And as I just close, finally, do you know in that beautiful New Jerusalem, there is another beautiful list. Verse 27, Revelation 21. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love lists. I really like that list. Do you? Are you on that list? I hope you're on that list. That list is a list of people who've acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord, as a Savior and Lord, who've acknowledged that he came and died that he might create that kingdom of priests, that he might fulfill all of the Old Testament that he looked forward to. That's why he often would say, in remembrance of me, this is what I say about this. He was always pointing to himself. And that's why he is the Lamb, John says, is the new temple. He is our destination. Beautiful list. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know who you are? Do we know who we are this morning? Do we know our place in that people? Do we know our destination? You know, if you aim for nothing, can I say you usually hit it? We are something special. Not because we are special in the sense of our own right. Because God in his mercy and grace has set aside a people for himself. Fashioned at the cross. Have you trusted Christ this morning as your Savior, Lord? If the music group are going to come, we're going to sing. But is your name on the least boring list ever? Because it's wonderful. On the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in it? Hallelujah. We celebrate. And we're going to be there. And it's going to make sense. So when someone says, what church do you go to? And what do? Don't say, well, I try to. You are part of something massive. It's massive. I was telling Frank the other day, I saw J. John on the video. He's great. And he was on an aircraft with somebody. Some of you might have known this and seen it. And he said to the lady next to him, it's always a good one to say to people because they'll usually respond. He said, what do you do? And she said, I think she was a business lady. He goes, oh, I'm doing a business thing. And she says, what do you do? J. John the evangelist, he says, well, I'm part of an international organization that feeds children, that houses the homeless, that creates projects for all sorts of things. And he came up with this whopping list of things. And that ultimate goal is to redeem the planet and to bring people together I can't remember what it said. It was amazing. You have to Google it. And she went, wow. "What's that organization?" And he said, "The church." Because he knows we're not just doing washers. We are a special possession. Seek your place. You're on the list. And if you're not, see me. See whoever you've come with. Be on the list. Come to Christ. Let me pray. And we're going to sing. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the lists in the Bible. Lists of people who are your special possession. Who knew the people they were. And knew, Lord, where they were journeying towards the center where you would be. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to find a geographical place. That we can worship you in spirit and in truth. That, Lord, you are our temple. That you're forming us into that place, that temple where the Spirit is pleased to dwell. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. And God gives you gifts individually for the common good. Lord, I pray against any who've not opened that brown envelope yet, where this has become routine, where I'm making 300 washes a day and it's all right. I pray it'll be much bigger than that, and that you'll remind me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take away anything that's not useful from the speaker today. And may I just seek to take my place amongst your people. And may I seek and look for your return, Lord Jesus. That new city where my name, through Christ, is written in the Lamb's book of life to your glory. Amen. Please, if you want prayer, want to chat or question or talk about anything you've heard today, in the songs or in the word, don't rush off. Get right with God today. Love to see your name in that list. It's lovely to see you today. God bless you.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.